Is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of
King of Crack.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number is 312-332-3776. If you give us a call with a question about the value of a collectible, we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a if it went in a Huggins and Scott auction. We actually have previews are up on HugginsandScott.com for their February auction. Bidding goes from January 30th to February 9th, so we've got a bunch of items that I'm going to talk about, what the opening bids are, give some idea of a random assortment of some of the cool items that are coming up for the Huggins and Scott February auction.
Yeah, I'm looking
auction.
At this 86-87 Fleur basketball unopened wax box. 36 packs.
Yep, $20,000 wow. Minimum bid on that baby. That'll be interesting to see what that does. And our prize this week, now we have a box of 2016 Topps high-tech baseball and a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead. Last week's winner didn't contact Vince, so we passing along the high-tech baseball box, moves into this week's prize, and we're adding the bobblehead. I tweeted a picture of the bobblehead. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Now, also, if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention at T-Crown Tom on Twitter, and we use it on the show, then you can get in the drawing. Now, I'm on Facebook, kind of. I don't do a lot on Facebook, but also...
How could you kind of be on Facebook?
Because I'm there, but I'm not there. I don't go there very often, but... I've been putting a little more on lately. For like 2 years, I didn't do anything. I'm just Tom Morgan on sure. Facebook. And now lately, I've been doing some links to some things. Like I told people when the cup was in and stuff like that. And I got a message yesterday from Kevin on Facebook who said, this is how he put it. For some reason, the Cleveland Indians announcer reminded him of me. And then he goes, does that get him into the drawing? And my response to him was, ha ha, dot, 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 no, and then dot, 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 maybe. So I'm going to leave that up to you, Vince, if you want to put Kevin from Facebook into the drawing.
Well, he's officially in.
Okay, he's in.
Because I tell you, that Cleveland baseball team, what a remarkable, you know,
that was
journey
quite
to the World Series.
They'll always be the foe when the Cubs won the World Series.
And they fought to the very end.
It was they had a really good team and a really good manager. Yep. And, yeah, that's a fun team to watch if you're an Indians fan.
Yep. Kevin's in. He's in.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Very good. Now, some other items. Bill, it looks like you guys have been taking a lot of stuff in. I see there's a couple of rookie cards here. A 1954 Topps Hank Aaron rookie graded PSA 5.5. That's a nice grade on an Aaron rookie, $1,000 minimum bid. And then there's a 1951 Bowman Willie Mays rookie PSA 7 with a $5,000 minimum bid. I haven't seen many sevens sell recently on that, Bill. That's one of the higher grades you've had on that card, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's probably somewhere in the $15,000 to $20,000 range when all is said and done.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that does. Willie Mays, the way Willie Mays played reminds me of Mike Trout now the way Mike Trout plays.
Yeah, just all out.
All out, you know. All the tools, making catches, like leaping catches against the wall, stealing bases,
you know,
power. I mean, really a lot like
what do
Mike
they say
Trout.
For a guy that's got it all? A five-tool talent? Six-tool talent in
five
baseball?
Tool.
Five-tool.
Yeah.
I think he's six-tool. He's also a good guy off the field.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's a great
right.
guy, does a lot of community work.
Yeah, you're right. If there is a six-tool, that
there
would
it
be
is.
It. And you nailed that one, Vince, that's for sure. And he does seem like a really good guy.
Yep.
Bryce Harper seems like a really good guy. Bill, in your area, now you're from the Washington, D.C. area. That's where you have your headquarters. Is Bryce Harper thought of as a really good guy and highly thought of in that area? He seems like whenever he comes here, he seems like a great guy.
Yes, he is. He seems to be very in tune with the fact that he is sort of the face of the franchise and could be for years and years. And he conducts himself that way. He hasn't really done anything to shoot himself in the foot yet, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that's very good. Now, Bill, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a lot of publicity in Chicago on Friday night. LeBron had to wear a Cubs. LeBron and Wade had a bet on the World Series that whoever won, the other guy had to wear that team's jersey the first time they played each other during the season. So the Cubs won, which meant LeBron had to wear a Cubs uniform to the game, the Bulls-Cavs game Friday night. My question to you, Bill, if that LeBron Cubs gear went in a Huggins and Scott auction, what estimate would – I think it would be enormous what it would go for.
What did he wear?
He had a Cubs hat, a Cubs jersey with – LeBron and I think number 23 on the back, Cubs pants.
A hat? I had
about a month ago, I tweeted on my T-Crown Tom website, I have links to things where you can get stuff from the different MLB shop, the NFL shop, all that stuff. And I tweeted a pair of Cubs slippers to LeBron and Wade's attention that I thought that would have gone that would have gone really well with his uniform, but I don't think he wore those. But other than that, I don't think he had the spikes or slippers, but I think it was the entire uniform, Bill. You want to give an estimate on that?
I would say that's 5 to 10,000 plus.
Easy. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So LeBron, if you're listening out there,
right?
Yeah, I tweeted it to his attention that would be interesting to see when it would go in a Huggins and Scott auction, but for some reason I haven't heard back from him. I think he probably wants that to just go away. But
I'm looking at a picture of him in Cubs garb. He's got a big old smile on his face.
He actually handled it great. You know? He was real easy going.
Yep.
Wade, they had it, they filmed it, and Wade met him like in the basement when LeBron pulled up. And they were kind of shoving each other and laughing.
Yeah,
and it was pretty cool. It was really pretty neat. So We're gonna say at least 10 grand if it goes in an auction, but I thought that was interesting. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah,
maybe he could do some of it for charity or something.
Yeah, if he could sign it, you know, maybe have the whole championship team sign it, and we got back-to-back championships, Cavaliers, Cubs. And
now, what would you think on that, Bill? Would it be like just LeBron signing it would be better if this imaginary auction ever took place?
Well, you know, we've actually had items over the past years where people have wanted the money donated to a specific charity or a specific organization rather than themselves, so to speak. And we've kind of told the story that they wanted to go along with it. And from what I can remember, everybody has been very, very happy with any time we've done that.
Good. Yeah, well, you know, that would be the perfect thing for it.
Absolutely.
LeBron obviously doesn't need the money. So his part could go to charity. Why not? Now, here's speaking of tough autographs in the Huggins and Scott February auction. I don't think I've ever seen one of these, Bill. There's a 1933 Gaudi Tony Lazzari signed card with a $2,500 minimum bid. I think
what that is, I don't know if you remember, in our August auction, we had a big group of 33 Gaudis. I mean, it was 100 and some of the biggest group JSA had ever seen come to light. And the guy who consigned that actually kept one card. He kept the Tony Lazzari.
Okay.
Kind of liked it and everything.
Yeah.
And then when he saw what it all went for, he said, ah, I can live without it.
Yeah, right. I like the Tony Lazzari card, but not that much.
Right.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
It came from the same collection that all the others.
Okay. Very cool. So this one's JSA authenticated too, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Wow, that'll be interesting to see what that one does. You also had another tougher signature, a Walter Johnson signed letter display. So it's a letter that Walter Johnson had written and then signed with a Walter Johnson photo in a frame display, $1,000 minimum bid on that one. I would think that's going to do really well, too. That was a cool-looking display. Now, if anybody wants to see this stuff, these items are already, the ones that we're talking about are already up on HugginsandScott.com. And you can go to that website and just search like Walter Johnson in the active auction and find the things that we're talking about and see pictures of them, see what the minimum bid is and, you know, think about it for future bidding maybe. And then you can also,
there's also a letter that was signed by, I don't know if Josh put it up yet, by Amos Roussey.
Oh, yeah. I was actually just going to get to that one. I had never heard of him before. 1936 handwritten signed one-page letter with a $15,000 minimum bid. Isn't that, that's something. He was nicknamed the Hoosier Thunderbolt, played for like 10 years, but for the New York Giants from 1890 to 1898. The amount of innings this guy threw in a season was just incredible. Listen to this. In 1890, his one-loss record was 29-34.
Wow.
He threw 548 innings, 341 strikeouts, 289 walks, 56 complete games. There's not probably nobody active right now that's going to have 56 complete games in their career.
Yep.
Guys have, but not, I don't think anymore. I mean, incredible. In he had 337 strikeouts, 500 innings, 541 innings. His 162 game average was 19-13 with a 3.07 ERA. So I don't know how many games they played in the 1890s, but it must have been a lot of games.
With a little rest between them.
You know, the neat thing about that letter is the content of the letter. It talks about him playing and dealing with Cap Hansen and Billy Sunday.
Yeah.
And the unique baseball content is what makes that thing very, very, very unique.
That's going to be huge. From looking into it, it's going to be huge. He got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1977. They actually... In looking him up in Wikipedia, it seems like he was a big part of having the pitching mound moved back. I think it was from 50 feet, and then it went to the current 60 feet, 6 inches, because they estimated he could throw mid to high 90s then. And apparently he had beaten somebody or something, and the guy was unconscious for 4 days.
Jeez.
And I think... In 1893, they moved the pitching mound back, and a lot of it is because his speed and wildness, you know, where guys were just shaking in their boots. When you look at how many he walked, it was like, whoa. But really interesting. I never had heard that guy's name before.
Well,
which right there is pretty amazing. But
that's interesting. He wrote it in 1936, and he's talking about this autograph bringing back old memories of Cap Anson and Billy Sunday,
Bill
said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool, the nostalgia of it. You
and
know?
Having that he hand-wrote that letter, that's going to
–
that now that's a $15,000 minimum bid, so it'll be interesting to see what it goes for. Okay, we have Michael from Tinley Park on the line. What do you have there, Michael?
Yes, I have a pair of boxing shorts signed by Muhammad Ali. And above the shorts, if the shorts are framed, and above the shorts are one of the iconic pictures of Muhammad Ali in one of his bouts. I'm not sure which one. And it's all set in a really nice frame.
Okay, let's see. Ali signed shorts in a nice frame like that. What do you think, Bill? Is that around the $1,000 to $1,500 range right now? I think...
Yeah, it could be. A lot's going to depend on what type of signature there again. That when was this done? Is it the big Muhammad with Ali underneath it, or is it the smaller Muhammad Ali that he signed sort of later in his life?
I had a neat display. I think it was a Steiner Sports display in the store for a while, and it sold... How is yours authenticated? Is it from Steiner? That was a nice display.
It is authenticated. I'm not exactly sure who it's authenticated by. There is a certificate with it.
Okay.
But I have a certificate. I'm still looking for it, but I know I have one, so I'm not exactly sure who it's authenticated by.
Yeah, and depending on who it's authenticated by, if you sent it to Huggins and Scott for an auction, right, Bill, it would depend who authenticated it. If you didn't like the authenticator or know the authenticator, you'd have JSA or PSA DNA authenticate for the auction?
Yes. There are a lot of authenticators that are just not recognized.
Right.
Whether they're, you know, whether they're good or not, that a lot of them are very good. It's just they just haven't developed a national reputation yet.
Correct. Like if it's Joe's Card Shop, he might have had Ali at his card shop and had him sign it, and it's good. But he isn't recognized, so you have to get somebody who's recognized to do it. But that's a great item, Ali stuff. Like we've talked about it on the show in the past. I think long term he's always going to be well known too. I don't think he's just a short term popularity guy. I think long term it's good stuff to have. We're already time for the first break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we've got a box of 2016 Topps High Tech Baseball and a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead to give away. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Tom and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. That background music there is from a Chicago guy, Charles Jenkins. He started following me on Twitter. I've got a thing going now. If a musician follows me on Twitter, and I'll find a cut, Eric can find a cut from him, he's going to put that music, something from one of their songs,
very cool,
into the background coming out. So Charles Jenkins is a Chicago guy. He's got like 79,000 followers, so he's apparently pretty popular. So keep that kind of like that. We always have music coming out after the cut anyway. We've got another guy from the UK after the second break that we're going to have a cut from. So pretty cool. That's Charles Jenkins.
He sounds like he's got a soulful voice.
Yes, he's Charles Jenkins and the number 7 on Twitter, if you're on Twitter and are interested in following or checking out his music. All right, now back to our show. The number's 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles. And we've got a nice prize package, a 2016 Topps High Tech Baseball box and a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead. You know, we've got callers waiting, so I'm going to wait to get to, we had a couple things we were going to get to, but callers are waiting, so let's get to the callers. We've got Jason from Paxton, Illinois on the line. What do you have there, Jason?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Tom. I'm James on Facebook. I'm the guy with the Jordan.
Oh, James. Yeah, sure.
Yearbook.
Okay.
I have that Lou Alcindor 1967 schedule he signed.
Yes.
He signed it in the Final Four. You know, it's PSA DNA slabbed. It comes with a ticket. I'm going to get ready to sell it or think about putting in the Huggins and Scott auction, but if you guys would accept it. But you know, what kind of value, guys, would you place on that stuff? Because you don't see Lou Alcindor autographs, first of all.
Yeah.
And this was his first Final Four, comes with a ticket, you know, Lou Alcindor. It also has the Clem Haskins and Jim McDaniel signed on it as well, you know.
Yeah, but it's cool. I don't know. You know, I haven't seen pricing on stuff like that. Bill, have you seen anything similar to that you've run or have seen it at some of the big conventions that you go to around the country?
Very, very little of that stuff. I mean, especially the fact that I think this, according to James, this was signed, period. It was signed back in that day and era,
yeah,
as opposed to, sometimes people would have asked Kareem Jabbar to sign Lew Alcindor, and I think in his early times, right after he changed his name, he would do that. But I think nowadays, he won't do that anymore. He said, that's not my name, that was my name, and I just signed my name now. So, this thing could be a gigantic home run, especially with the ticket and everything. Gosh, I wish I could give you an accurate number to predict it, but it could be several thousand dollars or more, I would think, is not an unreasonable expectation.
It'd be, be interesting to find out, James, that's for sure.
Definitely. I'll bring it to the next card show. If you're there, I'll show it to you, buddy.
Yeah, no, we'll be there in March. I mean, if you wanted to get it into our February auction, you could take it to Tom's store in Naperville, and he could get it to us, or we could do it in March, and it would be in our May auction. Either one would
That's one thing for listeners to know, how it really is simple, and it doesn't cost you anything. If you bring it in to T-Crown, I can fill out the paperwork. And Bill Huggins, what they do, his shipping guy sends me a FedEx label with tracking, and it usually takes 2 business days to get it to him. I package it up and send it to him. So, I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to do that. So that's one option for people. If you do have something that you want to sell in a Huggins and Scott auction, Billy, people still have time. Now, if they need to get something authenticated or graded, is it too late, or is there still time for that, for the February auction?
We still have plenty of time. I mean, I would say 3 to 4 weeks we still have to get anything graded or authenticated.
All right, very good. I contacted by a few people this week that had some pretty neat stuff. I did send in the box, the 53 Tops box.
Cool.
Remember the story there? He had a lot of 53 cards, Tops cards, that were in nice shape, like mid-grade shape, with a few Hall of Famers, I think, in the lot. And then I got a call like a few days later, and it was like, hey, I found the 1953 Topps 5-cent pack box that he got the packs out of, I think, that he got those cards from. So we sent that along, and that's going to be a lot then, I guess, the empty box along with the 53 Topps cards. That'll be an interesting lot to see how that does. That's kind of cool, though. I mean, like me, if I'm buying some old cards, if I could get the box with it, if I'm thinking of making that set, that would be cool. I don't know. That's just me, I guess. But not just me. A lot of people think that's cool.
For sure.
Yeah, Danny from Norridge is on the line. What do you have, Danny?
Hi, I've got a fully completed 1969 Topps baseball card set, all PSA 8. That would include all the white letter and all the variations.
Wow. That's nice. Is it ranked on the registry? Like what number?
I didn't want to put it on the registry. I just finished it, and for reasons of my own, I just wanted to kind of keep it private. But I'm kind of thinking of maybe in the next year or so, maybe selling it, because I've got a wedding to pay for. One of my daughters is getting married. So.
Oh, yeah, that can add up for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a really high-grade set. Bill, I know you run a lot of registry sets. Have you run one that sounds like similar to that grade? That's going to be thousands and thousands for that.
Yeah, I don't know that we've run one, but I can certainly tell you that if he does decide to send it to us, we would certainly want to register that set, because it's going to be one of the top sets, especially the fact that he's got what's basically constitutes a master set, which is all the variations.
Now, that would be huge. You're right. And Danny, you don't have to do it. Bill, you could register when you get it.
Yeah, we have this. Ricky has this little machine that you could scan it, and it, you know, as opposed to sitting there and typing in each one of the numbers that are on the thing to register, Ricky can register because you're probably talking, gosh, close to 700 or more cards for that set. He could do that thing in 20 minutes with this scanner that PSA sent us.
Yeah, it's actually exactly 691 cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, any idea on value on that?
Pardon me?
I really have to have my guys look it up, but I mean, I can't imagine you're not talking 20 plus.
Yeah, no.
It could be plus a whole lot, you know.
Yeah, that absolutely is possible. Here's a set that sold for a little over $5,000 and wasn't near as high a grade as yours. So yeah, that when you have that, it's already done, already graded and registered. Oh, that would be fun to watch. Sweet. We'd be giving it some publicity too. Now, Bill, do you think? Let's say you were going to try to figure the best time for it. Do you think the best time would be to have it in August when you're set up at the National? For Danny or any one of your four auctions per year, and it would do great?
Well, you know, people ask me that all the time. Is there a better time to sell? You know, what is the better time to sell it? And they're really, the only time that's better to sell stuff is if you've got the newer stuff. The guys like LeBron and Curry and you know, Chris Bryant, their stuff, the current guys, they sell better, and they really do. During the season, when they're playing, when they're putting up numbers. But the old guys, the Mantles, the Williams, the DiMaggios, the older players, their records are in the books. Their stuff is not going to change, and there really isn't a one better time than the other. But as far as the newer stuff, that really does have a seasonal little bit of a kick to it.
Yeah, well, Danny, so, I mean, if you know you're going to have to sell it and you want to get it, I mean, you could do it as soon as in the February auction if you want. That's a neat set because that has so many Hall of Famers. That even has Mantle. That's his last year, the 69 Tops, his last year of cards. Clemente's in there, Banks, a Reggie Jackson rookie. You got, you know, some other Hall of Famers that were big in the 70s. A nice early Johnny Bench, an early Seaver, a second year Ryan. I mean, that's a Hank Aaron's in there.
Guys.
Mays
yeah.
is still in there. I mean, a lot of big time guys. That's a great set, Danny.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if you're ever thinking of selling it, you can contact Bill or like we said before, if you want to bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, I could send it for you.
It's going to be in the next year. I'm going to be probably thinking of unloading it.
Yeah. Very good. It would be, I'll tell you what, vintage. Like high grade vintage stuff is just doing great right now too. So it's good, Danny.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, boy, that would be fun to see what that goes for. But Bill's so right about yep. having to get that on the registry as far as where that ranks. If it's a top 10 set, oh my God. The sky's
the limit. A lot of people wanting
that.
And you get a couple guys in a bidding war in Huggins and Scott auction. We've seen
any of those high grade vintage sets. If you're in the top of the overall grades, it's just they go crazy.
Yep. Sky's the limit.
It really is. We have Rich from West Dundee on the line. What do you have there, Rich?
Good morning. Season's greetings.
Same to you.
I don't know if I can follow Danny's act, but I was talking to an old-timer in Cicero. He's 95 years old. He's seen it all. He was a beer vendor for about 40 years all over the sporting stadiums, man. And he sold me Hank Bauer's bat. It's anomaly. It's 40 ounces and 36 inches long. And
wow.
This is
seriously? Hank Bauer used that big of a bat?
Yeah. He was a tough Marine. He was a big. They were both Marines, so he signed a Semper Fi Hank Bauer.
Yeah, that's.
They were both in World War II in the Marines.
Any idea what years he used it?
1960, when he played for the Kansas City A's.
Huh, Bill? Have you ever run a Bauer bat, or would you want to be? Could you give an estimate on that one?
Gosh, I don't know that we've ever run a Hank Bauer bat, but I would say that this thing, you know, especially with the notation, and if it shows nice use and everything, we would certainly want to get a letter from it, but it would certainly, I can't imagine you couldn't be talking a couple $1,000s on its best day.
Oh, I gave him $200 for it. I felt ashamed to give him that, but that's all he wanted. And he also had some photos signed by Al Capone.
Oh, no.
He lived in Cicero. He's got one there, I guess it was somebody named Anton, 2 Anton, signed Al Snorky Capone. They called him Snorky because he wore, you know, he wore those lemon-colored suits and, you know.
Now, do you
suits.
Have that also, Richard?
No. He says he's going to give it to UCLA. I said, in Los Angeles? He says, no, the University of Cicero, located on Austin, which is Maine Morton East High School, you know, where Joe Montega graduated.
Yeah, I know. So I'm very familiar with Morton East.
So how much do you think those photos would be worth? He's got a postcard. I think it was sent to Jake Guzik. It says, hello, Jake. Are you going to be at the New Year's Eve party? It was some 1942 or something.
I have never seen it.
It looks like a war.
I've never seen like an Al Capone sign. It's a signed photo?
No, he had a beautiful signature for a guy who only went to school for 6 years. He's got a nice flowing, great penmanship.
What do you think, signature. Bill, on that one? Is that even something that you'd be...
That's going to be a lot better, unfortunately, than the Hank Bauer bat, without a doubt.
So you think that's...
He wants to give it to, you know, Morton East High School. They have a museum there which deals with the history of Cicero.
Well, if he's, you know, if he has a lot of money and he doesn't need the money, then fine. If he needs the money, he could auction it.
Yeah, well, he was a beer vendor. He's telling me in 1945 he was getting a commission of 2 cents on every beer he sold.
Wow. Now,
2 cents. If he was able to raise a family, take a vacation to Wisconsin Dells.
Do you know if he ever met Jack Brickhouse?
Hey, hey. Yeah, I guess he did. I like his, he's so beer. He's kind of an expert on beer. He's got a simple test for beer. If flies sit on it, it's good beer. If they don't, it has too many chemicals in it.
We've got the show. Rich is running a good show today, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I found him very interesting. You know, it was a happenstance that I ran into this man.
Rich, if you want to bring the Hank Bauer bat into Triple Crown in Naperville, we'd be happy to send it to Huggins. Rich is on a roll. He'd be a good stand-up guy, I think.
Definitely.
Oh, we're already coming up to another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We can hear stories about your beer or whatever, too, if you
and
got them.
And stuff, Snorky. I never heard that.
No, that, interesting stuff there.
And something new every Sunday.
And we have a prize package to give away, a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box and a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, Triple T Crown Tom.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
This is a cut from another Twitter follower just from last week. His Twitter ID is Barrington Mole, BarringtonMole. He's from the UK, 436,000 followers, so he must be really popular there. But a nice sound there.
Absolutely,
yeah. So that was pretty interesting. So, you know, if you want to get some, go see him through Twitter, if you want to listen to his songs, he's got a link there where you click on that through Twitter. It's his pinned tweet, and he's playing this song. I guess the band is, the artist is White Moore, M-O-O-R, and the single, this one, is The North Wind. So kind of interesting. Yep. I think it's kind of fun to do that whenever. So if you're a musician out there and you have something online, some music online through iTunes or wherever, you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you back, and we'll play a cut coming out of one of the breaks. Now, our show is going to be on for 2 more weeks after this week, and then we're going to take a couple months off and probably come back in March, it looks like, and be on March through November next year. So get your calls in now if you got something the next couple of weeks here. 312-332-3776. The prize package this week, a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box and a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead for the winner that Vince will pick at the end of the show.
So we're going to come back just in time for March Madness, spring training.
Yes.
And we're going to see the Chicago Cubs repeat two in a row.
Oh, boy.
So, yes.
Well, you had the Chicago part right.
No,
see,
we're
now,
gonna do it.
Now I can
we're
stop rooting it. For the Cubs for a while. Although I like this Cubs team. I'm going to kind of root for them, too. But when they play the White Sox, I root for the White Sox.
I coincidentally ran into a guy with a New York Yankees hat on the other day at a gas station, and I told him, eye to eye, we're coming after your record. So this is the beginning.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay.
Sorry.
You're not getting carried away or anything, are you?
I would never do that.
Okay. No Cub fan ever would, I'm sure. Next on the line, we have Brian from Porter, Indiana.
How are you today?
Hey, Brian, what's up? It's a very festive display in the studio here, but I couldn't see the button through behind some Christmas decoration here. So, what do you have there, Brian?
That's great. Hey, I've got a couple of bobbleheads, both from McDonald's. I bought them years ago. One being Anthony Thomas, 2001 Rookie of the Year, and the other is the Brian Urlacher, 2001 Pro Bowl. Bobbleheads.
I think from that era, the A-Train and Urlacher, I don't think they'd be worth that much. I don't know that either one of those is that, a real difficult one. I'm sure Vince could probably find McDonald's bobbleheads of those two guys on eBay, but I'm not thinking they're...
Yeah.
Unless there's some reason they're a short print, probably $20 or $30 a bobble.
Yeah, a couple of Urlachers, McDonald's, about $20, between 15 and 20.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, you know, I like bobbleheads. I have a lot of bobbleheads that you can get. Like, for instance, on tcrowntom.com, my website, they have now a bunch of the different Cubs, and they have a bobblehead of them holding, where each of them are holding the World Series trophy. And to see
that's
now,
very
stuff
cool.
like that, I think.
Yes.
I think if you have a bunch of stuff displayed at your house, a couple bobbleheads mixed in there is kind of it looks good.
Absolutely.
Vince, which ended higher?
Okay.
we have to
great
fit
segue,
this in.
Tom.
Okay. Now these are three items that ended in the November Huggins and Scott auction. If you go to HugginsandScott.com now, you can see previews of some of the things coming up for February, but these ended in the November auction. Okay, a 1906-1907 Washington Senators rare pennant in framed display from 1906-07. A 1980 Charlotte O's Police orange border complete set of 25 cards with an SGC 50 Ripken. Bill, an SGC 50, what is that, like a 4? And an SGC 50? I think that's what
that's equivalent, yeah, to a PSA 4.
To a 4, right. Yeah. And then the third item, 1961 Fleer football, PSA 7 to 9 graded near set, 219 to 220 cards. This one is number 15 on the registry, with a 7.398 weighted GPA, but it's only a 220 card set, and this has 219 of the 220 cards. So it's a 1906-07 Washington Senators rare pennant, a 1980 Charlotte O's team orange border complete set of 25 with a Ripken, and a 1961 Fleer football PSA 7-9 graded
set. I'm going to say the 1961 220 card set.
See, I thought you might say that.
When you
I
set me
when
up
I,
again,
I did
you?
When I threw that in there, I'm thinking, now he's got to almost pick that. And then I thought you might think, okay, since we put
that's
in the
right,
80 Ripken,
right.
maybe that's the highest, but that's not the highest either. Okay, the 61 Fleer set went for $2,600.
Not bad.
The Charlotte O's with just an SGC 4 of Ripken, $3,200
wow.
for that set.
Surprising a little bit.
And the 1906-07 Washington Senators rare pennant, $3,300.
Oh.
So these are tough
sure,
when they're
they
that
are.
Close
Absolutely.
And they're that. It's hard to pick which one would go the highest, but yeah, pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty neat stuff. People bring in some old pennants. Pittsburgh David yesterday had an early, I didn't have a chance to tweet a picture. I took a picture of it. An early 1900s Cubs pennant. I think it was like it had a championship thing on it. I'll tweet a picture of it later in the week. Bill, have you run any Cubs pennants going back to when they actually won before this year?
And next.
Well, was it dated?
It just said something like Cubs champions or something like that. And it actually had a rip on the end of it, so it wasn't in great shape, but it looked like it was, you know, from the last 1907, 1908 maybe time frame.
Yeah, no, those are, gosh, I mean, especially if it's dated or if it's got some nice graphics or something like that, those could be several thousand dollars easily.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what that does. I'll get you a picture of it. And maybe we'll talk about it again on next week's show, try to get a better idea of it. Because it was kind of a busy day yesterday. I had more to do to get the show ready. Last night it was a weird week, the whole thing going together. Kent from Chicago's on the line. What's up, Kent?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, I was just checking. I have actually three pitchers. They all include Double Duty Ratcliffe, who played in the Negro League.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Two of them are signed just Duty, and then one is signed with Duty and Cool Papa Bell. I have them framed.
Whoa. Did Cool Papa Bell sign?
Yes.
Wow. Whoa, that's pretty cool.
So it's a picture with Duty playing back catcher, and Cool Papa Bell is sliding into home plate, and Duty and Cool Papa Bell both signed that one.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
I have two of Duty. He's in his catcher's gear behind the plate. I'll sign.
Well, that's cool. Now, Cool Papa Bell isn't one of the higher price, but I just love those nicknames, you know?
Right.
Are you old enough that you had ever saw any of the Negro League games, or did you have a relative that played in them, or how'd you get the signed photos?
No, I didn't see any of the games, but Duty was my great uncle.
Oh, really? Oh, now
yeah,
that's cool.
And I used to go down to in his later years. I used to take him down to the White Sox Stadium in Celia, and he was part of the White Sox organization earlier. He used to do a little scouting for him. So,
did you ever come up with any of his? Did he keep any of his Negro Leagues game used stuff, game worn stuff?
No, I never. I didn't get a chance to get any of that stuff.
Oh boy, that would have been something. So, I wonder if he kept any of that.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm kicking myself because I actually, when I was younger, I used to go down to Comiskey with him.
Uh-huh.
And I had access to actually the dugout when the players used to come out. And I had signed baseballs of some of the A's, of Blue Moon Odom, Violet Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him get away, so I was kicking myself. I didn't realize what I had at the time. But
did he used to tell you a lot of stories about what went on in those games? I bet there were some. Those guys were great. Whenever I would meet one of those guys at a show, they were the best storytellers.
Absolutely.
Every time we went out of town, Duty would hold court and have people from all over just listening to his stories. He's a great storyteller. I remember once we went to Atlanta for our family reunion, and we were in the hotel lobby, and people would just gravitate to him, and he would just tell stories about the Negro League, barnstorming, and I mean, he would just have people captivated.
When you first said Cool Papa Bell, for some reason it stuck in my head that you said Josh Gibson, because I think it was like wishful thinking that you had a Josh Gibson signature. But I mean, Cool Papa Bell. Yeah, did he ever tell stories about Josh Gibson? A lot of those guys thought he might have been one of the best power hitters ever.
Actually, he coached Josh Gibson. He was a coach also.
Oh.
So he played, and he got his nickname because he was a catcher and a pitcher. He caught one game in a doubleheader and then pitched the next game.
Yeah.
So that's how he got his nickname, Double Duty. But he coached a lot of those guys. He was from my family's from Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, and I don't know if you know, but a lot of great players came out.
Wasn't Billy Williams from there?
Billy Williams,
yeah.
The AGs were
Tommy
from there.
AG, yeah.
Yeah.
Was Hank Aaron, Hank and Tommy Aaron from around that area?
I'm not sure if they were, but I know a lot of great players came out of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, Hank Aaron was from Mobile,
that,
yep.
Location.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, you're so. Right. What a great area. Well, I'll tell you, if you come up with some, think of some stories and give us a call back in future shows, because I love hearing some of those stories. Now, those signed photos, probably a couple $100 for all three of them, maybe, you know, they're not worth a ton, but great history and great stories with them. And if you ever do have a Josh Gibson, then if you find one of those laying around, you really got some, especially if it was a single Josh. Signed baseball.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thanks for the
that's
call.
Great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great stories.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Wow. Next on the line, we have Chris from Grays Lake. What do you have there, Chris?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a autographed ball from the 1969 Cubs, complete signed, and then also a 64 Ernie Banks card. No autograph.
Okay, how nice is the card, the 60? I like that 64 Ernie Banks card. Does it look like it's like fresh out of a pack, or did you have it in your pocket for half your life, like? Like I
no, it's not excellent, but it's pretty good.
Okay, yeah, well, you know,
little weathered.
Yeah, a little weathered. It's probably only maybe a $20 card. Now, a Cubs 69 Cubs team signed ball. Does that have DeRocher and Don Young and all the guys on it?
It's got everybody. My wife's grandfather, secretary, worked in the clubhouse.
Oh, really?
So he's able to get it to everybody.
Were you ever able to pick up any game used stuff by any chance?
No. Okay. This is all that we inherited.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. Bill, I mean, you think 500 to 1,000 somewhere in that range for 69 Cubs team signed baseballs? I saw one. I don't know if everybody was on it. It was about 600 a year or so ago. Does that sound?
Yeah, I think depending on how it displays, and like you said, the completeness of it, it's 500 to 1,000 and maybe even a little bit more if it's a really sharp-looking item.
The Cubs stuff is so hot. I mean, so if Chris wanted to auction that just by itself, you think that would be something worth doing by itself in a Huggins and Scott auction?
100%, especially now's a good time to sell that while the Cubs are, you know,
yeah.
the king of the crop, you
so
know.
You'd still have time to get it even into the February auction, or you could run it in May if you wanted to, Chris. It'd be interesting to see what it does.
In the next week or so, yeah, we're yeah. good to go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Next on the line, we have Matt from Naperville. What do you have there, Matt?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. I have a guy who goes to church where I'm a pastor in Naperville.
Okay.
And he's got two sets of chairs. They're connected, as I understand it, from Wrigley Field when they did a renovation, I think from the 1980s.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's value to those.
To the old Wrigley Field seats.
Right.
You know, depending on the condition for two seats from Wrigley, what do you think, Bill, maybe in the $500 range?
Yeah, I mean, unless they had any special notations or anything on them, the two-seat thing, that's probably right.
Are you thinking of doing some sort of charity auction for your church in the local area with that, Matt?
I'd love to talk him into that, but that's, you know, I'd have to work that out with him. But
yeah.
He and I were talking about, I collect cards, and we were talking about this. He said, well, I've got in my basement that I bought in the 1980s, he's got actually two sets. And as I understand it, the chairs are actually connected. So there's a set of two connected and another set of two connected.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Hey, can you sit on them then? Are they connected and they're solid people can sit on them? Because that helps,
I believe he's got them in his rec room, you know, in his house.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
I would think probably for the two of them, it would probably be, you know, in roughly, if I had them at T-Crown, I'd probably, for Wrigley Field, probably, and not on a stand, probably $500 for the two of them. Vince, it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Danny from Norwich. So, Danny, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. Send me your address. I deliver this week's prize to your door free of charge.
And he has to contact you by?
Thursday.
Thursday. Yes. And if you don't do it by then, it goes into the next week auction. Okay, now don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Previews are up already for the February auction. Bidding begins January 30th through February 9th. Go to TCrownTom.com, my website. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. And hang in there and listen to Jeff Meller and Chris Black on the Fantasy Football Frenzy Show. I want to know what Kaepernick's going to do in the snow.
It's another fun show. Sorry.